this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, "We want this country back. Dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack.
Welcome back, folks. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and you're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network here live on October the 20th, 2023. There's been an awful lot that's been going on in the news, and we're going to be trying to cover a little bit of everything today. For those of you that have been emailing me saying that you get most of your news either through emails or through surfing the web, which you already know that a lot of the news on there is not usually accurate news, or you listen to those of us like on RBN to find out kind of what is going on, what is up to date. So one of the things I wanted to cover first was a lot of people have been asking me what is happening with the Vietnam Veterans Association. And as you know, many of those people that served just around the early mid to the late 1960s, early 70s, that were either serving in Vietnam or served in some support capacity, either overseas or stateside, that many of those people now are getting older, they're passing away. Many of them were exposed to Agent Orange, and our numbers are dwindling. Of course, as you know, many of our World War II veterans are no longer with us. Many of our Korean War veterans are up in their late 80s, early 90s, and their numbers are also dwindling. And so I wanted to kind of answer regarding the Vietnam Veterans Association and some of the things I've been hearing. I'm a member of both the Vietnam Veterans Association. I'm a life member, as is my husband. And we're also both members of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, as well as supportive of many other veterans organizations out there. Now, there was the 2023 National Convention for the Vietnam Veterans Association. And I'm going to be reading to you right out of the Veterans Magazine newspaper, which is volume 43, number 5, and it'll say across the front of it, TBD, the delegates have spoken, quote, don't put an expiration date on our organization. You can find this back in page 16. Now, one of the things that our organization was talking about, where I'm a member of, is wanting to see about letting other military veterans into the Vietnam Veterans Association that did not serve during the Vietnam era. As you all know, Vietnam officially fell and ended around April of 1975. And so in order to qualify as a Vietnam era veteran, there are certain dates that you have to fall between. And this convention, I'm looking at a picture of all these men who served during that period of time. And it is very, very obvious to me that they believe that this organization, many of them believe, the organization should only encompass those that actually served during the Vietnam era dates that have been listed by the federal government. This article came out in this magazine, and it said the 2023 National Convention, Vietnam Veterans, it was held in Orlando, Florida. And they call themselves Creating the Vietnam Veterans Association's Lasting Legacy. So there's some that believe that we should invite other soldiers, men and women, who've served in other conflicts or other wars into the VVA. And then there's others that feel really strongly that that should not be happening, at least not yet. So the big news that came out of the 20th Biennial VVA National Convention in November of 2021, was the delegates' forceful dismissal of a resolution that it would open membership to succeeding generations of veterans. That action cemented the fact that the VVA, with membership open only to those who served on active duty during the Vietnam War, should be a last-man-standing veteran service organization. At the 21st National Convention, held in hot and humid Orlando, Florida, from August 9th to August 12th, the 703 accredited delegates from across the country took further action to define the VVA's future. They approved a roadmap for both solidifying the organization's legacy and planning an orderly dissolution. First, the delegates passed an amendment to the VVA's constitution. During that Thursday morning's general session, this amendment authorized the board of directors to develop and implement a strategic dissolution plan within the next 2 years. This plan will then be submitted to the delegates at the 2025 National Convention. In the afternoon session, the delegates approved a resolution authorizing the board to establish a legacy task force responsible for working on the dissolution plan. The comment from the floor during that Thursday's general session debate over a resolution to set February 29, 2028 as the date for the VVA's dissolution. After a spirited debate, the delegates amended a proposed resolution that initially set February 29, 2028 as the date for the VVA's dissolution. The final version, approved by a large majority, calls for the VVA's dissolution to occur at a date to be determined, quote unquote. This change reflects the sentiment of one delegate during the debate who cautioned, quote, don't count us out yet, unquote. Day by day, after the now traditional Tuesday evening welcome home buffet dinner party featuring Brass Heart Band, the convention officially commenced with the Wednesday morning opening ceremonies. The combined color guards from Florida Chapter 1048 in Daytona Beach and Chapter 522 in Pinellas County carried out their duties with aplomb, including the presentation of the service flags, which this year for the first time included the Space Force flag. Attendees then heard from Florida State Council Vice President Gary Newman, the AVVA President Sharon Hobbs, Joshua Jacobs, the VA's Undersecretary for Benefits. Jacobs praised the VVA for its longstanding veterans advocacy on the national level, proclaiming that we, quote, wrote the playbook, unquote, for today's VSOs. VSO, folks, stands for Veterans Service Officer. He further stated that the recent enacted PACT, P-A-C-T Act, quote, wouldn't have been passed without the VVA's support and leadership, unquote. Homer Hickam, the best-selling author of the memoir Rocket Boys and numerous other books, delivered the keynote speech. He spoke, folks. Let's see here. Growing up in Colwood, West Virginia, writing Rocket Boys to leave a legacy for the people who lived and worked in that small coal mining town during his youth. Discussing his latest book, Don't Blow Yourself Up, Hickam described it as a tribute to the men he served with in the 4th Infantry Division in Vietnam. He encouraged Vietnam War veterans to tell their own stories to keep our legacy alive, quote unquote. So, folks, there's going to be a lot of discussion going forward in the next few years regarding the legacy of the VVA, whether or not the VVA should be dissolution should take place sometime in the near future in 2028, or if it's something right now that we basically need to leave alone. As an article written by Dennis Howland of the Chair, Public Affairs Committee, he said, "We are not gone yet. It was great to see everyone who attended the National Convention in Orlando. We accomplished a lot and presented many well-deserved awards. Those who've been around a while, and it was one of the largest conventions they've ever attended. To everyone who helped put it together, well done. For those who attended the business sessions and voted on resolutions, I encourage you to ensure that your state council and chapter members know what was accomplished. Questions will come from members, community people, and other VSOs, especially about the dissolution resolution." So he then goes on to say, many were very unaware of the Missing in America project. Its purpose is to locate, identify, and inter unclaimed remains of American veterans. Since November 2006, the MIAP has visited more than 2,500 funeral homes, found 30,000 remains, identified 6,500 veterans, and interred 6,097 of them. It's a wonderful program to get involved with. As the new year, school year begins, I hope more VVA chapters will participate in the Vietnam Veterans Association Junior ROTC Medal Program. Information is available on the VVA.org website. It's a fantastic opportunity to share your story and honor young people. You can also collaborate with your scout troops by awarding the VVA Eagle Scout Medals. Thank you for your support and input during my time as Public Affairs Committee Chair. Your involvement makes it happen. So there's a lot more we'll be covering in the days ahead. I will be covering some veterans issues on Monday. And on Tuesday, Jeff Bennett has asked me to take the show. So you'll be hearing Maggie Rose here, the Concord Hour, on RBN at the same time as today. You'll be hearing me on Monday and Tuesday as well. Now, one of the things that a lot of people have been talking about is the number of illegal aliens who have entered the U.S. under Biden. Did you all know that it has now exceeded the population of 22 states? The number of illegal aliens who have entered the United States of America under Joey Biden has now exceeded the population of 22 of our states. An estimated 2.8 million illegal aliens have either been released officially into the U.S. or successfully evaded the Border Patrol to enter the country since Joe Biden became president. The number of illegal aliens who have entered, the data is continuing to come out. Data released Monday by the House Judiciary Committee reveals that at least 3.8 million illegal aliens have either been released into the nation's interior or successfully evaded the Border Patrol to enter the country since President Joe Biden took office January 20, 2021. The new data and other information reveal that the Biden administration has, quote, failed to remove, through immigration court removal proceedings, over 99% of those illegal aliens who've been released into the country, unquote. Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan and Representative Tom McClintock, chairman of the Judiciary's Immigration Subcommittee, said they obtained non-public data from the Department of Homeland Security that provides previously unknown official numbers. Data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, part of the Department of Homeland Security, reports that over 5 million illegal aliens were encountered at America's southern border between the start of the Biden administration and this past March 31st. Of those 5 million illegal aliens, at least 2.46 million, quote, had no confirmed departure from the United States, unquote, the report found. During the first 26 months of Biden's presidency, DHS released, quote, at least 2,148,738 illegal aliens into the United States. Let me read that again. During the first 26 months of Biden's presidency, the Department of Homeland Security released, quote, at least 2,148,738 illegal aliens into the United States, according to the Judiciary Committee's report. The committee found that only 5,993 of those encountered at the southern border were placed in removal proceedings, unquote. In other words, quote, of the at least 2.1 million aliens released in the United States since January of 2021, the Biden administration has failed, I say, failed to remove. Sorry about that, folks. Has failed to remove through immigration court removal. Proceedings, roughly 99.7% of those illegal aliens, the report said. The report notes that an additional 1.7 million known gotaways. Again, the report notes that an additional 1.7 million known gotaways successfully evaded Border Patrol agents and entered the U.S., bringing the total estimated number of illegal aliens who arrived and stayed under the Biden administration to 3.8 million. The population exceeds the number of residents of 22 different states and the District of Columbia. Well, folks, so when the Biden administration turns around and says, oh, we put a few of those illegals and deported them on airplanes and sent them to Venezuela, you know the number is far less than what they say they've actually deported. We know that when we've had Biden get up and Kamala Harris get up and AOC get up and Omar, who should be kicked right out of Congress, and maybe AOC should be kicked out of Congress too after the little temper tantrum she threw not very long ago, screaming and yelling and waving her hand around like she thinks she's a good speaker, a good public speaker, waving her hands up in the air like she thinks she's a Martin Luther King, and then throwing the paper down on their podium saying, well, you know what, this GOP person, he threatened my life. She is one of the biggest hypocrites that we have in Congress. Both her and Omar have made prejudicial comments about Christians, veterans, people with white skin. They've called people white supremacists who are anything but white supremacists. These two women are the most prejudicial people that we have sitting in Congress. They do not belong there. Those people in New York and Michigan and Wisconsin that are voting these people in as congressional representatives should be ashamed of themselves. If this is what they believe a good quality representative should be in Congress. Every time we turn around, we're hearing people like Omar and AOC try to play the race card. Maxine, play the race card. I'm so sick and tired of them trying to play the race card. You know, just the other day, I was told to turn on the news. And what I saw absolutely shocked me. Fortunately, Miss Green, who's one of our representatives at the Capitol, was able to show us a video that was live showing all these people who are supporting the Hamas and supporting the Palestinian jihadist. And don't get me wrong, folks, there are so many people in Gaza, so many people in Palestine that are the innocent people, and they're being used as body shield by the Hezbollah, by the jihadists, by the Hamas. We know that. We're very much aware of that. But I want to say that there's a lot of blame to go around. And when these people who are supporting Hamas and Hezbollah and the jihadists, the radical terrorists, with no concern that the Hamas is the one that threw the first blow, the Hamas is the one that murdered all those Israeli children and babies in their cribs, running women through and cutting them open that were pregnant, Israeli women. Are these people demonstrating in Washington, D.C., who are demonstrating that their support for the Palestine Hamas that have been hiding among them in Gaza, in their buildings, running their government? You know, what I don't understand is, why were they inside the rotunda, inside the Capitol building, screaming and yelling and waving flags and demonstrating? Why were they not all thrown out and arrested immediately? All of them, every one of them. And yet we have people sitting in jail right now, our January 6ers, who many of them didn't even go inside the building. They were standing outside. They weren't breaking windows. They weren't trying to beat up on police officers. They were being set up by Nancy Pelosi and her Marxist communist minions. There were so many people that were given tours throughout the Capitol that day on January the 6th. They were being walked through by the Capitol Police, the Capitol Guards. They were being walked through like they were part of a tour group. And many of them now are cooling their heels in jail. Many of them have not even been charged. They're being tortured. They're being physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically abused by their guards, by the law enforcement there in D.C. and other places where they've been arrested and incarcerated. Why is it that they are still sitting in jail? 2 years, 2.5 years later, and yet the Palestinian protesters and demonstrators and the Muslims that are supporting what happened to the Israelis and their communities and their children and their elderly, why were they allowed to be within the Capitol? Why were no fewer than 120 people actually arrested? And were those ones that were arrested outside, or were they actually arrested inside? And there was a lot more than 200-300 people inside the Capitol Rotunda. There are many more than that. Why were every one of them not arrested? Why are they not being identified and basically grabbed in a net and also thrown in jail? Again, more hypocrisy, more double standards. Oh, we don't dare go after those Palestinian supporters who are supporting Hamas and protesting against the state of Israel even being in existence. Because if we do, that's going to trigger a civil war. Why is it that the Christians, the evangelicals, the military veterans, the retired law enforcement, why have they not triggered a civil war? Why are they all sitting in jail, many of them for peacefully protesting? Why is the head of Proud Boys, who wasn't anywhere near or in the building, why did he just get sent to prison for at least 20 years? What is our country coming to? You have here the squad, AOC. I'm sorry, but she's a B with a capital B. This article that was written by Michaela Burrow in the past Virginia Allen about the illegal aliens that have been coming over the border. Jack Davis, he wrote this: the squad puts forward resolution calling for Israel to cease response to Hamas terror attack. Members of the squad, which we know as AOC and Omar, these women, part of the squad, put forward a resolution calling for Israel to cease response to Hamas terror attack. Are you kidding me? The article goes on to say, members of the squad of House Progressive Democrats, folks, progressive means communist, Marxist. There's nothing progressive about them at all. They don't make progress or make peace. They themselves are always calling for war, even against the American people. But it says members of the squad of House Progressive Democrats are calling for Israel to let bygones be bygones. Are you kidding me? That's insane. Bygones be bygones? Tell that to the mothers and fathers who found their children were beheaded. Tell that to the family members that are finding out their aunts and uncles were beheaded and their children were beheaded in their cribs. Children as young as 3 and 6 months of age. And just let bygones be bygones? AOC, you're absolutely mentally, certifiably crazy. And so is Miss Omar. They're saying that we should, quote, let bygones be bygones and cease all military response to the massacre of more than 1,400 civilians in Israel that were at the hands of the Hamas. A resolution demanding a ceasefire was drafted by Democrat Representative Cori Bush of Missouri, a member of the so-called squad. Last week, in the immediate aftermath of the attack, Cori Bush called for an end of aid to Israel. According to KSDK TV, her fellow squad members, Representatives Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Ariana Pressley of Massachusetts, and Jamal Bowman and Alexander AOC, folks, Ocasio-Cortez of New York, co-sponsored the resolution, as did Representatives Bonnie Watson-Coleman of New Jersey, Nydia Velasquez of New York, Andre Carson of Indiana, Summer Lee of Pennsylvania, Delia C. Ramirez, Jesus, known as Choi Garcia, and Jonathan Jackson of Illinois, according to a statement on Bush's website. They said the resolution said that, quote, hundreds of thousands of lives are at imminent risk if a ceasefire is not achieved and humanitarian aid is not delivered without delay, unquote. The resolution, which is unlikely to pass the Republican-controlled House, urges the White House, quote, to immediately call for and facilitate de-escalation in a ceasefire to urgently end the current violence. Folks, we're going to be right back. This is Maggie Rose. You're listening to The Conquered Hour here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Don't go away.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is Maggie Rose, and you're listening to the Concord Hour here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I strongly encourage those of you that can, please. I know times are really tough right now with the cost of food going up and gasoline and everything, but if you can do anything to donate, please, to RBN to help us with you know, our expenses. We do have expenses, folks. Nothing is for free. And at the very least, if you want to earmark it, say put this in a special savings for any future equipment you guys need to get to update your equipment or whatever. You know, we have people on staff there. They're trying to make a living too, folks. And if you want, you know, go and listen to some of our ads. Go to RBN, www.republicbroadcasting.org, and you will see some of the people that are our sponsors, and patronize them, please. Look up their products. See if those are products you might want to purchase, you might want to try. Every little bit helps, folks, to try to keep us going on the air so we can put out more up-to-date news and commentary. One of the things that some of you were talking to me about, again, just yesterday, I got some emails, is you were also upset with seeing the fact that all these people are protesting against Israel defending itself. Israel saying, we need to go in and we need to take care of Hamas. If we don't get rid of Hamas, they're going to keep coming back and it's only going to get worse. And it will spill over into other countries. It will spill over into European countries. We already know that we have sleeper cells here in the United States of America, especially thanks to people like the Clintons and Obama and now Joe Biden. Sleeper cells all over the United States and up and down the West Coast that are just waiting for the green light to go and craze havoc and murder and mayhem in our communities, in our cities, our places of worship, our places where we work. You know, folks, if we just keep on allowing people like AOC and Omar and the Pelosi's of the world to scream and yell and stomp their foot and have absolutely no concern for other people and their homes and their lives. I mean, who is Omar? She was a 27, 28, 29-year-old nothing who came out of nowhere. And she screams and yells and tries to act like she's some kind of a great orator where she can supposedly talk and make sense. And all she is an emotional twit. I challenge her to ever have children of her own. She'd be a horrible mother if she looks upon human life with the coldness and the callousness that both she and Omar seem to have towards other human beings. Omar, who came into this country illegally, married a blood relative, and she got away with it. Just the way that we know that Obama got away with what he did. The evidence is so strong now that his birth certificate was a forgery. We've got so much evidence from forensic experts here in the United States and over in Italy and other countries that Obama is not who he tried to portray to other people he was. And we know that Obama is whispering in the ear of Biden, telling Biden what to say, what to do, how to handle things. It's not Joe Biden that's running the United States. He's a puppet president. We know that it's Obama. Obama that is the conductor. Obama that is orchestrating everything. Obama that loves the people that we call ISIS. And he still insists on calling him. Like somehow that takes away with from who they really are. So why we see people marching into our Capitol protesting and allowed to do this for hours on end. No wonder Marjorie Greene was upset. She says they're allowed to do this while our own people are sitting in prison, being given practically life sentences, being called domestic terrorists when they were not. We knew for a fact that it was BLM, Antifa, that mixed themselves among our group, and they started the chaos. They started the insanity. They were the ones breaking the windows. But do you see any of them going to prison for 20 years? I think not. Urban anarchy. This is coming out of the American Free Press. In the same article, which is volume 23, it says 88-year-old Secret Service agent makes a startling John F. Kennedy confession. See page 26. Again, the American Free Press. If you want to start getting the American Free Press, all you need to do is to call them and tell them Maggie Rose sent you. Contact the American Free Press at area code 202-544-5977. Or go to their website, www.americanfreepress.net. That's American, ending with N, americanfreepress.net. Or again, write down this phone number that I'm going to give you. The phone number is area code 202-544-5977. Tell Paul Angel, who's the managing editor that Maggie Rose sent you. Again, that phone number is 202-544-5977. And from time to time, I write for this newspaper. The article is Urban Anarchy, Soft on Crime Policies are fueling violence in the cities across the United States. As the Biden administration and Congress continue to funnel endless piles of cash to the Ukraine, while state and local governments spend untold amounts of taxpayer dollars providing housing, schooling, and other subsidiaries to migrants, many of whom enter the country illegally, shocking violence and criminality spiral out of control in major cities across the country. Just before the American Free Press went to press, in this newspaper, mobs of almost exclusively black thugs, youths, as the fake news media often reports them, engaged in widespread looting and criminal mayhem in Philadelphia. The looting and violence were a direct result of a local Philly cop having all charges against him dismissed following the shooting of a criminal who had led officers on a high-speed chase, refused to cooperate, and was wielding a knife earlier this summer. The Soros, that's George Soros, funded Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner, charged the officer Mark Dial with first-degree murder for shooting a knife-wielding 27-year-old criminal named Eddie Irizarry during a traffic stop on August the 14th. Municipal Judge Wendy Pugh agreed with Dial's defense team that the malicious charges should never have been filed in the first place, citing a lack of evidence to justify them. Despite the harsh rebuke from a sitting judge, Krasner quickly filed a motion to reinstate all the charges against Dial, with a hearing to adjudicate that motion scheduled for this next week, October the 25th. Meanwhile, earlier this summer in New York, a gang of three brutes, a newly concocted euphemism used by dishonest mass media outlets to describe non-white criminals, beat to death a black taxi driver after getting into an argument. The thugs punched and kicked the cab driver on the busy street of Manhattan as onlookers watched impotently. Such scenes are disturbing, typical not only in New York, but every other major city in America. In Chicago on September 26, video emerged of a man innocently walking down the street enjoying a slice of pizza when he was beaten and robbed once again by two, quote, brutes, unquote, according to the New York Post. The young man, who was sucker punched in the head from behind and then repeatedly pummeled by two large black men, was white. Finally, a gruesome murder took place on September 24th when a 26-year-old young white woman, Pava LaPierre, was murdered by a convicted sex offender who was released from a 30-year prison sentence after only serving 11 years. Miss LaPierre was a tech entrepreneur and an admired leader known as a rising star in her field, according to local reports. Police announced on September 28th that they had arrested the black suspect, Jason Billingsley, a violent career criminal who is also the suspect in the September 19 arson and sexual assault case that left a young man and woman in critical condition. The outrageous violence and criminality we see on vivid display is the inevitable outcome when law enforcement and prosecutors go soft on those monstrously violent criminals, blaming everything on white supremacy and systemic racism. Folks, it's enough to make you sick. So I'll follow up with this out of the Roseburg Beacon, page 3, Wednesday, October 18th, local national article. Superintendent is training, arms the school teachers, saying we're not a soft target, by Bob Unruh. A school superintendent explains that he's not a gun person, quote unquote, but nonetheless, he's trained and armed nearly 20 school faculty and staff members because it can take 15 minutes for officers to arrive when a, quote, active shooter, unquote, incident develops. Parents, he has found, love the idea. A report from the Washington Stand explains that John Chenu, a superintendent of the Benjamin Logan local school district in Ohio, set up a similar program in nearby Sydney City schools 10 years ago following the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. The report explains Chenu described how he worked then with the county sheriff. Oh, there you go. What happened? Well, I guess the show's over, huh? Oh, I am. That is so weird. Okay, well, what I was trying to share with folks is that in this newspaper, the superintendent of schools said that when he talked to the Washington Stand, the Sandy Hook situation showed us that we can have the most secure buildings in the country, and if an active shooter wants to come in and do that kind of carnage to the students, they can. So that is why we sat down and came up with the plan that had an armed presence trained by the Sheriff's Department. The conclusion we came to was very straightforward. The deputy said we could take at least 15 minutes to arrive, they said, and an armed facility or staff member was on scene immediately. Quote, time is of paramount importance, he concluded. The policy at Benjamin Logan we came up with is to train the volunteers, the secretaries, the custodians, the teachers' aides, the principals, to either conceal carry or have an assigned firearm that is securely stored and available to them in the event of an active shooter, he told the Stand. They go through intense training, and they're the first line of defense if there's a shooter. They don't help the police once they arrive. They're instructed to put the threat out as soon as possible and retreat as soon as law enforcement identifies themselves. The parents overwhelmingly have supported the armed response team, so we feel pretty confident that the community in general is supportive of having a trained and qualified armed response team to back up our school resource officers and the police, he explained. That would include volunteers, secretaries, custodians, teachers' aides, teachers, and principals to either conceal carry or have assigned firearms that are securely stored and available to them in the case of an active shooter. Schools have even put up signs warning that active shooters will be met with an armed response team, he said. It's just a matter of telling people we're not a soft target, so do not pick us to do your carnage. Many teachers express concern about serving as law enforcement, quote unquote, he said, but he understands. The entire program is volunteer, and quote, every one of these people are very, very committed to protecting their fellow teachers and their students in the unlikely event of an active shooter. Meg Kilgannon, a senior fellow for educational studies at the Family Research Council, told the Washington Stand that school children should be protected like other, quote, precious assets. Allowing willing and trained teachers to stand and serve as an armed response team is reasonable and praiseworthy endeavor, she says. Such programs are catching the attention of more and more schools, the report noted, as 33 states have already legally permit teachers now to carry firearms on the campus. So, folks, I completely support that. I think we need to have more teachers who are willing to do that, participate, keep up with their training, making sure that they understand gun safety. And if they don't want to conceal carry, at least have a firearm that is registered by the school district in a safe location that can be used in the event of a tragedy like that to try to stop a tragedy like that from taking place. We're going to be talking more, folks, on Monday here on the Concord Hour about Ford that just laid off hundreds of workers who are building the electric F-150. We'll also be talking on Monday about Jim Jordan. He just went through the third round again today and didn't quite meet the number of votes that he needed. I think it was 217 or 219. There's a lot of Republicans that are siding with the Democrats and they don't want Jordan, so I call them the rhinos. And we'll be talking about that. But supposedly Jim Jordan has now decided to drop out of the race for the Speaker of the House. We'll also be talking on Monday more about how Israel is pounding the Hamas by air and massing soldiers right now for a ground response. Folks, you're listening to the Concord Hour with Maggie Rose here on Republic Broadcasting Network. You can also listen to us at www.talkstreamlive. I will be back with you on Monday at the same time and again on Tuesday. And then we'll be taking callers Monday at the second half of the 1 hour. Again, you guys all have a very safe weekend. Make sure you keep on your seatbelts. Fortunately, when we got hit from behind on the 29th of September in Chico, California. He was going over 40 miles an hour, and he hit us with a great force. And it's very fortunate that my passenger and I both had our seatbelts on, because that's truly what kept us from going through the window. God bless you all. Have a great weekend.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right, and our victory's on the way. And we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. Take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.